quite confident that there is no one here that does not know Brother Jerry Andrus of Salem, Oregon. Very glad that he has consented to service at this convention. His subject for this morning is In the Sycamore Tree. Brother Jerry, please.
I appreciate that smile, Brother Ed. Hello, friends. How are you? You look good. Happy Christians. Indeed, how blessed are we. I looked and saw that star of hope, my son of righteousness. I can see that sunshine in your face. Why do people put a geranium or a lily in a window instead of a book or a photograph or an article of clothing? Why do people plant morning glories and lilac bushes and rose bushes in their meager little yard? Why do men who achieve great independence always buy a place in the country? It is this desire in man that the Lord seeks. And one of the most delightful experiences in the Christian walk is the fellowship that he or she has with those of kindred mind and kindred purposes. These experiences can lift the cares of time, can energize spiritual strengths, can build within us a sense of defining and establishing new goals and refurbishing old ones. To be of greater faithfulness to that step we have hesitantly, possibly, drawn back from. To renew our purposes that points the way to Christ Jesus. And likewise, it is fitting that the Lord's people should continually keep trace of the mercies and blessings they enjoy. Otherwise, the pressures and the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the world, would so crowd in upon us that our minds and hearts as to cover our observation and ultimately choke out completely that spring of divine grace which, when kept open, ministers continually to our joy and refreshment in the Spirit. And is this not the reason that we are here? To get refreshment of spirit, to get into the sycamore tree. Luke 19, verses 2 through 6. You've read the story many times. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. What a surging of purpose must have taken place in the heart of Zacchaeus as his resourceful plan of getting to see Jesus took shape in his mind. Do we have a resourceful plan that is taking shape now where we can get to see Jesus and receive a like invitation that he will come down and abide with us? We cannot help admiring the courage of this little man, ordinarily, probably, dignified enough in his bearing, but now, heart swelling and feelings of interest, he runs like a boy and he climbs into the tree. He is now prepared. He is now in a place where he can receive a blessing. For he, Jesus, was to pass that way. He avails himself of an opportunity. He acts at the right time. And who is able to measure his blessing? Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said to him, "Today I must abide in thy house." Well, brethren, we need to get into the sycamore tree these next few days if we want the blessing. And Jesus will say to us, "Come down, for I must abide in thy house." Now, so great was the value of this tree that David appointed in his kingdom a special overseer. Chronicles 27 and 28, and over the olive tree and the sycamore tree that were in the low plains was Joaz. So great is the value wherein we stand that the Lord assures us that the very humblest who are his have high connection at the throne of heavenly grace. Our angels do always behold the face of our Father in heaven, our overseers. Yes, brethren, we are in the shadow of the Almighty. We are in the hollow of his hand. Can we comprehend it? We shall praise him continually for the opportunity provided. Can I so run as to obtain it? But why should I not attain it? Our justification is complete. It is Christ that died. Our call is official. It is of God in Christ Jesus. True, we are weak, but he who invites us says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. Haste thee to perform it, to present our bodies living sacrifice." The time of sacrifice continues to be present. It soon is over. Submit yourself to God and look for his work. "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." Come to the sycamore tree, the place of God's blessing. Here we will locate ourselves in respects to God's grace, the grace that spreads its shadow about us. Hebrews 9:5, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we can now speak particularly. Does this not call forth the greatest amount of reverence of heart and mind when we come into such hallowed presence? The wood of the sycamore tree is very porous and is exceedingly durable. It suffers neither from moisture nor heat, but uses both of it for its vigor and growth. We are told that we are the trees of the Lord's planting in Isaiah 61:3, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And as a tree, we should grow downward, that we may know of our own weaknesses, to be emptied more and more of self, that we may be rooted to humility. We need to seek to see that the roots penetrate below the topsoil of truth into the great rock that underlined the utmost stratum, that we may get hold of the doctrines of eternal love, of immutable faithfulness, of complete contentment in the union of Christ and the purposes of God. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In the next few days, it will be manifested what are the moving impulses of our Christian life. How thoroughly watered and imbued we are of the Master Spirit. Each of us, by the fact that we are here, we have accepted, by God's providence, a special appointment as his ministers. Whom will I be blessed by? Who will I be a blessing to? You know, brethren, our blessing will be related to a great degree by what we see, by what we do, and by what we feel, than by what we hear. The process of learning involves a combination of our five senses. Only 1% is the results of taste, 1.5% from smell, 3.5% from touch, 11% from hearing, but 83% from sight. Marketing men tell us that the human eye is 20 times more powerful than the ear in conveying messages to the brain. So each of us are on the platform, an epistle read of all. And how appropriate our manna text this morning. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We'll want to remember that the tongue, though it be a little member of the body, can, if not controlled, set on fire the course of trouble and grief. The life of every one is a diary in which he means to write a story, that story of faithfulness in Christ. His humblest hour is when he compares the volume as to how it is with what he vowed to make it. Have we requested of the Lord a blessing and expect to realize it? Have we asked the Lord the presence of mind and grace to be a blessing, and will diligently seek to fulfill it? How often is there a difference between the reach and the grasp? Our reach is our intent. The grasp is our act. Too often in our Christian life, enthusiasms are aroused, emotions are stirred, noble gains are glimpsed, High purposes are entertained, but no action follows. Nothing is done about it. The splendid enthusiasms are wasted and the emotions are dissipated. The soul has not capitalized on what it desired, but did not do. Yes, brethren, how often there is a difference between the reach and the grasp. Are we mentally prepared? Is there a desire, a wanting? There is an opportunity. Solomon, Songs of Solomon 2 and 4, he brought me to, or we could say he brought us to, the banqueting house, and the banner over us is love. The banquet, Christian food, which is so necessary for our spiritual strength. We need it. The university of Christian experience is one that we all are enrolled in. The tuition is the highest that can be paid. Sacrifice of self. John 15 and 30. Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Charles Dickens writes in The Tale of Two Cities a story about Sidney Carton when he learns of a plight of his friend, Charles Darnay. He is determined to save him by laying down his own life. Darnay is condemned to die by the guillotine. Carton gains admission to the dungeon the night before the execution, changes garments with the condemned man, and the next day is let out and put to death. Well, brethren, we need to change garments. We need to get into a insight of death in our Christian fellowship with one another to help them at their time of death. They are dying daily. We are dying daily. To feel the motives, to help the motives, to stimulate the motives, and urge ourselves and others on. Before he went to the dungeon, he had entered the courtyard, and there he had remained for a few moments, looking at the light from the window on high. You recall the story. He had prepared himself. He was led by the light of love, and it led straightway to the dungeon and thence to death. This was sacrifice of greatest magnitude, the act of great love. And as the process of osmosis is essential to the health and growth of a tree, so the receiving and giving of the graces of love, the Holy Spirit, is necessary for our growth and health in Christ. Gather my saints together unto me, those that indeed have made a covenant by sacrifice. Sacrifice is the light from that window. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Shall we not lay down our lives for one another? Yes, we need to see in depth, to change garments, to help our brethren. The story is illustrative of great moments do not come by chance. They are made by those who love and find a willingness to give themselves. The art of giving is the sinew of faithfulness in a Christian life. He gives his will to the Lord. He gives his time unto the Lord. He gives his energy to the Lord. He gives his little talent to the Lord, for his people. He has pleasure in giving of a blessing whether others know of it or even appreciate it. And by, his time for receiving shall come, for the Lord will give him the divine, the eternal kingdom in his presence forevermore. The sycamore tree has wide-spreading branches and affords a delightful shade, and it was frequently planted by the wayside. Have you not enjoyed the pleasures of a comforting rest under the shade of a tree on a hot summer day? Under the protective branches, you lay on the cool grass and drink in the vigor of rest and peace as it spreads around you. A cool breeze caresses the brow. You dream of happy things and happy days. Well, brethren, likewise, that is here in the sycamore tree. Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Are we heavy laden? Have no rest for the feet? Troubled on every side? We need to get under the shade of the sycamore tree. Every Christian life has its lights and shadows, its heights and joys, and its depth of sorrow. These make up a large part of the wrap and wolf of our Christian experience. And the web of Christian character which flows from the active loom of life will be fine and beautiful, or coarse and homely, according to the skills and carefulness which the individual weaves into it the threads of experiences. And now, because of our environment, the somber shadows predominate, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruit of the Spirit. Well, while we are waiting for our deliverance, the daily experiences of our life have a most important mission to us. These next few days, let us pause for a while and reflect on our experiences, the Word of God, bring them into focus, and possibly the web of experience will be seen the clearer as we commingle them with those of like experiences. Jude 20:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Build ourselves up upon our most holy faith. Well, it was interesting to note the difference between building up and tearing down and wrecking. Webster comments, building upon to unite materials in order, to fabricate or make, to erect or construct. Of course, when we use this word fabricate, we need to handle the Word of God, do we not? To build an altar here, an altar of sweet-smelling incense, is our desire and purpose. To create or produce gradually as a result of effort, to strengthen by practice. Quite a commission that Jude lays unto us when he admonishes us to build ourselves up, and we might add others, upon our most holy faith. In contrast, wreckers, to bring to a condition of complete physical or mental impairment, or to an unsound condition, to break, to be broken, to disarray, disorder, disrupt, making shipwreck of one soul. Yes, there are some no's as well as some yeses in the next few days before us. The shade of the sycamore tree is the precious balm of Gilead for wounded spirits on the battlefield of life. Rest now in the shadow of the Almighty. Drink in the stimulation, the refreshment for the fainting soul, hard pressed by relentless foes. Feel the soothing caress of a loving hand upon the fevered brow. Hear the gentle whisper of hope and love and courage. Press on. All is well. The Master still guides the helm, the ship. How loving and tender is our God, how wise and strong. His promises never fail for those who put their trust in Him. Even if we feel that our efforts to be good and to do good are very unproductive, that the opposition from without and within have been very strong, the fact that we have been weak and lame does not separate us from the love and power of our Father while striving to do His will. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Let us then now lay hold more and more on this strength of the Lord, that we may courageously pursue our course in the narrow way of difficulty and trial. When He giveth quietness, who can make trouble? The preciousness of intimate fellowship with God. It is when continued trust in the Lord and His many responsive providences in our lives have ripened into precious personal acquaintance and intimacy that we learn to delight in Him. When heart answers heart, when prayer brings recognized answers of peace and purpose, when the divine love and care has been clearly seen in the guidance of our war, that we recognize the abiding presence of our Father and His Son. Do we have the real sympathy of heart with God? Is His friendship and love our life? And dear friends, like most trees, young boys like to climb. And I remember as a lad, I used to enjoy climbing trees, but I had been one with that reckless spirit of getting too far out on a limb. And yes, you know what happens when we get too far out on a limb? We fall out of the tree. Well, maybe we will feel some will get too far out on a limb, but that is the Lord's judgment. We should remember where one Christian is lost to the Christian life by a particular thought, especially salt of evil, there are 100 who drift away from the Christian life of worship and praise. More drift out of Christian life than fall out of it. In life, there are those treacherous currents. We have all found them, and we've all swam in them, which, when they get their grip upon us, slowly but surely carry it off to the shores of ruin and wreck. If one awakens, or if one can awaken to the fact, or can waken another to the fact, that they have been drifting, that there is not the same moral resistance, not the same eager purpose to know the truth and do it, then now is the time to put a resolve to the lip. With what care we use to win men to Christ, but how much greater the responsibility to hold them to Christ. Are we our brother's keeper? If we need to exercise care to win men to Christ by the manifestation of His Spirit, of love and kindness and truth, how much greater is the responsibility to help hold them for Christ and to speed them onward into the Christian life. And if the feet of one have well nigh slipped and they are stumbling over fallen logs of severe trials, of doctrines, how disastrous may be the effect we leave with them in unkindness, in impatience, intolerance, a lack of the manifestation of the Master Spirit. How great is the responsibility we have incurred. Of this sycamore tree, its leaves are heart-shaped and downy on the underside and fragrant. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This reminds us that we need to make use of our plowing time. There is a story of the rocky coasts of Scotland. A man lowered himself by a rope from the top of a cliff to a ledge in order to gather the eggs of the wild sea fowls. In a careless moment, he let the rope slip away from him. Realizing his great peril and seeing the rope come swinging toward him again, and knowing that its second swing would be shorter than the first, he waited till it reached the end of the swing, and then he leaped to seize it and was drawn to safety from the lip of the cliff. In a moment of time, he had to choose to act. That will often be so in the destiny of our lives, acting at the right moment before they slip forever. Your brethren are here. They have need of you. We need to be heart-shaped and downy on the underside. The flesh. We must keep the flesh under, to curry it, not to pamper it. And fragrant in our acts and words of administrations toward one another. Caring or not caring can spell the difference between success and failure for us in this narrow way. Those that serve from this platform, what will we leave behind us? That which builds, that which edifies, that which strengthens, that which comforts and encourages. Will this experience, this occasion, be the better because we were here? 1 Peter 5, 1 and 4 leaves a wholesome admonition. Elders, which are among you, I exhort you, and also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that he shall reveal, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This word in samples, we were pleased to note, means specifically a pattern. We'd liken it to a blueprint, an outline. The outline is there. Christ is the outline, and each elder must fit into that pattern or outline. To ask ourselves if this is what Christ would do under these same given circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Yes, we have an opportunity to show our Father and our Lord the love and zeal we have for them. For that which we do for his people, he accepts as being done as to themselves. Find tongues of encouragement, warmth and grace running from the efforts of serving. Sermons in our acts for those who await our fellowship, and good from our attitudes, our attentions given to each lesson of instruction. We live in a world of echoes, and these will come back as blessings beyond measure if we are in the right frame or pattern of mind. We want to be very careful that we do not throw away an experience, an opportunity. The experience is what we make it. It does not run after us and plead with us, but it waits to see if we shall give heed to it and to invite it to be our guide and companion. And one last point, brethren. The tree is always verdant and bears fruit several times a year. Without being confined to fixed seasons, and thus it is a permanent food bearer. Well, that brings to mind the outgrowth of the Holy Spirit, which we have received, is a continuing fruit bearer if we are being faithful to wherein we have been called. And now, may the Lord bless you in these next few days, because as each one brings that measure of His Holy Spirit with him, with her, and we commingle it, this will measure others' blessing. Let us get into the sycamore tree.
We certainly thank Brother Andrus for a very nice start in our convention in the sycamore tree. One of the lessons that I believe was very prominent in his discourse was that we have to be in the right place at the right time in order to receive the Lord's blessing. And we trust that this is true in the case of this convention.